Well, today we're looking at one of the only stories, or shall I say the only story we have as Jesus before he becomes an adult. This is the only time that we have a story in all of Scripture about what happens and what he does. So listen to these words, because it's an unusual story in a way. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I had an interesting discussion this morning in Sunday school, because this also happened to be the scripture for our Sunday school lesson. And I started that whole process out by asking them, if your kid was not seen for a few hours, what would your reaction be? What did you say? Good riddance. I mean, this is the only story we have of Jesus as a boy. And his parents lose him. I have. I shared with them about our youngest son, Philip, and I know Deanne will remember this well. We had moved to South Hill, and he was about 4, not quite 4 yet, or maybe 4. And I realized I hadn't seen him in a couple hours. So I went and asked her, I said, "Have you seen Philip?" And she said, "No." And my first thought was, the neighbor across the street has about a 5-acre farm across from us, and there's 2 ponds there. And I know exactly where I'm going to find him is down in one of the ponds, and it's not going to be good. We searched for a couple hours, I think it was, before we found him. He was at that neighbor's house with a garden hose, watering bushes for her. We explained to him that if he was going to go do that, that he needed to let us know that he was going to the neighbor's house. And we were excited to find him. I don't remember that we yelled at him in any way. We just explained to him that if that's what you're going to do, I mean, he had been playing out in the yard by himself. I don't know where the other 2 kids were. I think they were in school or something. And it wasn't another couple of weeks, and we lost him again. And we looked for a little bit, and we called over, and we said, "Peggy, is Philip there?" And she goes, "Yeah, we're playing checkers." And he would just every once in a while as a little kid leave, and that's where we would find him every time until he got a little bit older, and then we would find him at another neighbor's house. And no matter how many times we explained to him that he needed to let us know when he was going to do that, he would just every once in a while disappear. So have I lost my kids? Yes. Does it set in a panic? Yes. It never set in a way that we were like, oh, great, have fun, hope you enjoy your life. It never set in that way. It always set in as a panic. And Jesus' parents, I think, do panic eventually. You see, they thought he was in the company of everybody. And where we finally ended up talking about this in Sunday school, it was as though when I had young kids and we came to church, I never paid attention where they were the whole time we were at church. I knew they were with somebody at church and they were being taken care of, being watched over, and everything was okay. And oftentimes I wouldn't look for them until the end of the service. And after greeting people at the door, and then I would look for them and say, it's time to go home. And most of the time they would say, finally? And this is what happened with Jesus and his parents. They assumed he was amongst the crowd that they were traveling with. And it wasn't until the end of the first day that they realized he was not. And they go back to find him, and where do they find him? He says, where else would you expect to find me, Mom? Where else would you expect to find me? You see, one of the things that I'm well aware of, and I think churches need to become even more and more aware of, is that there are a lot of people out there who have lost their way on their spiritual journey. There are many who are lost on their spiritual journey. And you see, all of us can see those people every day. And sometimes we just choose to look past the fact that they're lost on their spiritual journey. We choose to look past it. And maybe subconsciously we say, that's not for me to bother with. They're the ones who need to be bothered with their own spiritual journey. I'm worried about my own. And we just choose to look past it. I want to admit to you that I do sometimes. But sometimes as I'm talking with folks and I'm visiting with folks and see them at Walmart or whatnot, sometimes it is quite hurtful to realize that people have lost their spiritual way. I don't really know that I'll ever see one of my grandfathers in heaven. I don't really know. I know because he was raised up in a Catholic family and because he attended Catholic school for a while, because he explained to me all about them horrible nuns that taught him. I know that he was presented the gospel, and I know that he was given an opportunity to accept it. But I never really know whether he did or not. He always admired me for what I did as a pastor and always asked about it. But I don't really know. And you see, we see people all the time that are lost on their spiritual journey. And we don't really know what's going to happen to them. The truth is that some are able to find their way. Some are able to find their way. Some are able to eventually come about and come to the point where they are able to find where they need to go, how they need to follow Jesus, how they need to learn things spiritually. And then they understand the importance of worship, and they understand the importance of the scriptures and of times in prayer and of fellowship, and they understand the importance of sharing with other people about the spiritual journey that they have found themselves on. So some are able to find their way. I was able to find my way without ever going to church. Some guys found me and explained to me about the way that God was calling me on. And I still am amazed they never invited me to church. Not once. Never. But because of what they did, I was able to find my way. Because of how they cared for me and loved me, I was able to find my way. So some do find their way. So I want to ask you first off, what about your spiritual journey? What about your spiritual journey? Are you found, or are you still searching? Are you found, or are you still searching? And I mean this in the sense of not, are you still searching to know God deeper and in richer ways, but are you still searching to start your spiritual journey? Are you truly walking on your spiritual journey? For you see, each and every one of us is called by God to walk on a spiritual journey. That's actually part of us. St. Augustine says that inside each one of us, there's this hole, and that hole can only be filled by a relationship with God. And there's a lot of people out there that are trying to fill that hole with so many other things. But the problem with that is it's a hole that's shaped like God. And the only thing that fills that hole is God. And that deep relationship with God. But some people are still searching. And even people in church are still searching. Some have been in church their whole life, and they're still searching. They may have joined the church, but they're still searching. Because unless you're aware of this, just joining a Baptist church is never going to get you into heaven. Growing up in a church will never get you into heaven. Never. It's about that spiritual journey. It's about that journey that all of us need to take with a relationship with God. A relationship that involves time, that involves effort, that involves work, that involves service. So I ask you, are you found? Or are you still searching? You know, when Jesus is found, his parents and others are so amazed at so much. They are so amazed at so much. I mean, look at what the scripture says here. It says that his parents find him in the temple and he's asking the teachers questions, but then it also says the teachers and all the other people are amazed at his answers. That means they've been asking him questions. Okay, I give it to him. He's God. He should know the answers to the questions, right? But they're amazed at the depth and the understanding he has at age 12. For you see, in Jewish society, even today, at age 13, you're considered an adult. That's what a bat mitzvah and a bar mitzvah are about. If you're a young girl, you have a bat mitzvah. And if you're a young boy, you have a bar mitzvah. And at age 13, you're considered an adult. Now, we don't do that with our kids, do we? At age 13, they're not an adult. We call them teenagers. And we call them teenagers until they get about 26, 27, 28, 29. When they finally start thinking right, and they realize that we've been thinking right the whole time. Right? Jesus is right on the edge of becoming in their society what they consider an adult. When he's found in the temple, and people are just absolutely amazed at his understandings, at the questions that he asks, at the answers that he brings. I can ask another question here. Are people amazed at your spiritual understanding? Do you know God well enough that people are amazed at your spiritual understanding? If Jesus is our example, shouldn't people be amazed at our spiritual understanding also? Especially if we've been in the church for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Shouldn't people be amazed at our spiritual understanding? That's why I ask, are you found or are you still searching? Do you have a deep, powerful relationship with God or are you still searching for that? If you were lost, I'm going to ask this question. If you were lost, when others find you on your spiritual journey, where do they find you? When others find you on your spiritual journey, where do they find you? Do they find you in deep relationship with God, as Jesus' parents found him? Do they find you with a deep understanding of the Scriptures? Where do others find you? You see, I think this is a question all of us need to answer. It's important to the people that are still lost. It's important to the people that are still lost. I still remember a makeup story that I read in a book about missions. You see, Jesus ascends back into heaven. I mean, that part's true. But the rest of it's a made-up story of what possibly happened once he got back there. You see, one of the angels got him off to the side, and one of the angels said, Jesus, is the work on earth done? He says, no. The work of him being the sacrifice is done. The work of him bringing salvation, the opportunity for salvation to people is done. But does everybody know about the opportunity for salvation? No, the work's not done. So the angel asked Jesus, he says, so can you tell me what's the plan for finishing the work? And Jesus says to him, he says, well, I spent 3 years with this bag of ragtag, different individuals. Some of them were fishermen. One's a tax collector. One of them wants to cause major revolt. You see, I spent 3 years with them, and it's their job to share the story. And the angel says, well, okay, just in case, what's plan B? You got to have a plan B, right? I mean, we always have plan Bs, don't we? If this don't work out, I got a plan B to go to. And Jesus says, I don't have a plan B. I trust that they'll do it. And you know what the truth is? They did. Because of those 11 individuals, a 12th one was chosen. They had more than one that could have been the 12th one. And word was passed to us. You see, they were so involved on their spiritual journey and so deep in their relationship with God that they made sure it carried on. And people became very amazed at the answers they had. People were amazed at the answers that Peter, a rough, tough, old, just horrible fisherman, they were amazed at the answers he had. I've known one commercial fisherman in my life that grew up on the Chesapeake Bay. And I can still remember shaking Mike's hand. His hands from the wrist down were nothing but complete callus. From being in the water all the time and working the nets that they had and working everything that they... I mean, his hands were nothing but calluses. Completely. I've never seen anybody on a farm that had calluses like Mike had. From his hands being wet and working all the time on the water. And I just, every time I think about Peter, I think about Mike. Now, Mike was just as humble as could be. Mike would never even speak up and say a word. You had to pressure him to talk. You almost had to back him into the corner to talk. Peter was the exact opposite in that. Peter would volunteer words when you didn't want to hear them. Folks, Jesus said, I don't have a plan B. The only plan that Jesus has is for us to have a deeper spiritual journey and to tell the other lost people about what's going on and about how to come to know Jesus Christ. You see, Fred Craddock, who's probably, I don't know if he's still alive, I don't think he is, he's one of the best preachers there is. Somebody asked him one day, and they asked him, they said, can you tell us what your definition of preaching is? This is his definition of preaching. It's one beggar telling other beggars where to find food. Should your spiritual life be any different than that? You found spiritual food. You came as a beggar trying to look for spiritual food. Are you telling the other beggars where to find that food? You see, it's important for us to do that. So, as we are looking to start a new year, does your priority need to be on God's house more this next year? Does your priority need to be more on God's house this next year so that you can get your spiritual journey in the right direction, going the right way, so that you can tell the other beggars out there where to find food? You see, as I look around, there's a lot of empty pews. There's a lot of empty space in here. And there's a lot of beggars out there that don't know where to find spiritual food. And they're lost. I want to read for you one last thing in closing today. And it's the last paragraph of my message in the Beacon. So some of you have already read it. Listen again. As we begin this new year, there is a need for people to step up and move forward on a spiritual journey. As a church, We have done a number of things this past year to simplify and streamline how we do ministry. Yet there is much left to be done. Now is the time for a step forward as a church family. Will you join me and make 2019 an incredible year for Withfield Baptist? Not only is God counting on you, but as your pastor, I'm counting on you being a dynamic part of a powerful Withfield Baptist in the new year. I'm counting on you. Because I can't do this job myself. Will you be another beggar out there telling beggars where to find food? Because you've come to know that you can find food here. And we got empty pews. And we got lost people. Sounds like we got everything we need to fill this church up. What do you think? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the incredible dynamic things that you have given to us. We pray, Lord, that as we look forward to moving into a new year, that you will guide us on ways that when people look for us, they'll find our priority on a relationship with you. That they will find our emphasis on trying to know you better and trying to share that story with so many other folks. Lord, please guide us to be people that know you well, that know you deeply, and that others will be amazed at what we know spiritually, not because we're going to be high and mighty above them, but because we're going to stoop low enough to make sure that our fellow beggars know where to find the food that they need for eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.